Have you ever thought that way? Don't believe everything you think? At some point, we're going to have to trust 100%, 101% in God's providence and thoughts in our lives. But many of us have stumbled along the way, but God wants us to come to Him as we are and to move forward in faith. And to search Him with all of our hearts so that we may think His thoughts and have His thoughts. Testimonies of the Church, Volume 5. You should keep off Satan's crown, chanted ground, and not allow your minds to be swayed from allegiance to God. Through Christ you may and should be happy and should acquire habits of self-control. Even your thoughts must be brought into subjection to the will of God, and your feelings are under the control of reason and religion. Your imagination was not given you to allow it to run riot and have its own way without any effort and restraint of discipline. If the thoughts are wrong, the feelings will be wrong, and the thoughts and feelings combined make up the moral character. When you decide that as Christians you are not required to restrain your thoughts and feelings, you are brought under the influence of evil angels and invite their presence and their control. If you yield to your impressions and allow your thoughts to run in a channel of suspicion, doubt, repenting, you will be among the most unhappy of mortals, and your lives will prove a failure. We read earlier from that pen of inspiration, it told us that either God's angels control the minds of men, or Satan controls the minds of men. Fallen angels. So there's the law of attraction. And I was talking to some young people about this. Our mind is like a magnet. If you think of blessings, you attract blessings. If you think of problems, you attract problems. So we always must cultivate good thoughts, good seed, and remain positive. The glass is half full. Whatever comes our way, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things that are honest, whatsoever things that are just, whatsoever things that are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things that are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of these things. Let our minds be filled with these things. Your brain, my brain, will constantly rewire itself to suit the information that we feed it. If we constantly complain, gossip, find excuses, etc., it will make it much easier to find things to be upset about, regardless of what is happening around us. Likewise, if we constantly reach for opportunities, abundance, love, and things to be grateful for, it will make it much easier to find a reflection of those things around us. It takes practice, right thinking and right doing, but over time, there is a powerful to reshape our own reality. Prepare, brothers and sisters, storm is coming, relentless in its fury. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Review and Herald, 1894. Jesus is acquainted with our trials, and He does not leave us to struggle alone with temptations, to battle alone with sin, and to be finally crushed with burden and sorrow. Through his angels, he whispers to you, fear not, for I am with thee. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I know your sorrows. I have endured them. I'm acquainted with your struggles. I have experienced them. I know your temptations. I have encountered them. I have seen your tears. I have also wept. Your earthly hopes are crushed, but let the eye of faith be uplifted and penetrate the veil, and there anchor your hopes. The everlasting assurance shall be yours that you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. God has always tried his people in the furnace affliction in order to prove them firm and true, to purge from them all the dross of unrighteousness. In the ministry of healing, to those who desire prayer for the restoration to health, it should be made plain that the violation of God's law, either natural or spiritual, is a sin. We're talking about the health message. And that in order for them to receive his blessing, sin must be confessed and forsaken. The scripture bids us confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And those aren't your secret faults or sins that you want to put out in public, but those are faults and sins you've got against your brothers and sisters. God is willing to hear our faults and sins as well. But those ones it says to bring to one another, brothers and sisters, I've had to give counsel to those that were using their brothers and sisters to say everything. And we need to be bridling the tongue as to what to share with people. To the one who's asking for prayer, let thoughts like these be presented. We cannot read the heart or know the secrets of your life. These are known only to yourself and to God. If you repent of your sins, it is your duty to make confession of them. In 1 John 6, we read, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And the hope is, yes, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Signs of the Times, August 25th, we read, the compassionate Savior who drew hearts to him by being touched with the feeling of their infirmities saw a still greater need than bodily suffering. He saw symptoms of a deeper illness. Outward affliction is the result of a diseased heart, and the physical suffering of the people suggested to the Savior the cause that produced this effect. It was this soul trouble that led the great physician to come to the earth as a restorer. The sufferings of the body excited his pity, but he was moved to a still greater compassion by the needs of the soul. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30-31. But of him are ye Christ Jesus, and of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This is where we need to keep our thoughts ever present. Letter 57 from the pen of inspiration. The sanctification of the soul is accomplished through steadfastly beholding him by faith as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. The power of truth is to transform heart and character. Its effect is not like a dash of color here and there upon the canvas. The whole character is to be transformed. The image of Christ is to be revealed in words and actions. A new nature is imparted. The exceeding great and precious promise, that divine nature he's willing to impart. Acts of the Apostles, page 560. Sanctification is not the work of a moment, an hour, a day, but of a lifetime. It is not gained by a happy flight of feeling, but as a result of constantly dying to sin and constantly living for Christ. Wrongs cannot be righted nor reformations wrought in the character by feeble, intermittent efforts. It is only by long, persevering efforts, sore discipline, and stern conflict that we shall overcome. We know not one day how strong will be our conflict the next. So long as Satan reigns, we shall have self to subdue. Besetting sins to overcome, so long as life shall last, there will be no stopping place, no point we can reach and say, I have fully attained. Sanctification is a result of lifelong obedience. And it's not that we're a works-based family of believers. We trust and obey. That is the only way. John 17:17-18. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. Acts of the Apostles, page 290. Could the veil be lifted from before our eyes, we should see evil angels employing their arts to deceive and to destroy. Wherever an influence is exerted to cause men to forget God, there Satan is exercising his bewitching power. When men yield to his influence, ere they are aware, the mind is bewildered and the soul polluted. The apostle's admonition to the Ephesian church should be heeded by the people of God today. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 6:12, we know that chapter well in regards to the armor. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And the greatest battle is with self. But we are to guard our senses, lest Satan gain victory over them, for these are the avenues to the soul. And we have those five senses. We know them well. We've touched on this in the past. Touch, sight, smell, hearing, taste. What are we consuming? What are we taking in? Which wolf are we feeding? We also have five brain waves. We've touched on this, and I know others have touched on this as well. These are also avenues to the soul. The theta wave is always open, and the devil knows very well how to get into people's minds if they let that door open up. Here we see the brain waves, the frequencies of what those brain waves allow. We're hopefully all in the beta stage right now, that we're perceiving, we're concentrating, we're mentally engaged in regards to what we're looking at and learning about and thinking about how we would apply that to our lives. But back in the theta wave, there's constantly the drive and the feelings is still going on behind the scenes. We looked at this earlier image in the prefrontal cortex, and we're going to take a little deeper dive into this to try to give some more understanding as to the way and the process by which information is processed and it absorbed. By beholding, we become changed, right? this particular spot, the hypothalamus of the brain. Everything enters through the senses, the waves. These enter into the hypothalamus, which communicates, as you see there under the right-hand side, the pineal gland, very important part of the brain. The devil knows that too. He's been using toxins through the public drinking water system with fluoride, which calcifies the pineal gland, makes it more difficult to discern. And we want to have discernment, especially in these days. One of the major functions of the hypothalamus is to maintain homeostasis, is to keep the human body in a stable, constant condition. The hypothalamus responds to a variety of signals from the internal, external environment, including body temperature, hunger, feelings of being full up or after eating, blood pressure, and levels of hormones in the circulation. It also responds to stress and controls our daily bodily rhythms, such as nighttime secretion of melatonin from the pineal gland, and the changes in cortisol, stress hormone, and the body temperature over a 24-hour period. The hypothalamus collects and combines this information and puts changes, places to the correct imbalances. It is a highly complex piece of mechanism that God designed in us. It talks to the pineal gland and the pituitary system. It speaks to the different glands within the body, and it communicates information out. As it said, it stabilizes, it creates, it helps during stress, a very important part of what the body is. We see it here as the ancients understood it as well, the golden ratio. You can look this up on your own time. We're going to do a little deeper dive into the counterfeit to what this is. Here we see the eye of Horus and the understanding of the pineal gland and the mind's eye and how the occult understand how to connect into this inner workings of the brain, riding those waves and getting into the subconscious and the super subconscious. Back in the ancient Chaldeans and the Sumerians, we see these reliefs of the Anunnaki and Gilgamesh with the pineal gland holding in their hand. Notice it's a pine cone shape. It's tiny. It's probably the size of maybe a pea in the brain. But they were exalting this. They understood it quite clearly as to the importance of getting inside people's heads. Here in the court of the Vatican City State, we see the world's largest pine cone. We also see examples of it on the staff of the Pope and Osiris's staff. So this is an ancient symbol. You can see with the Vatican City State, the two peacocks, which are symbolic of the all-seeing eye, as well as the eyes that you would see on the feathers of the peacock, and very interesting symbolism. Here we have a picture of Cardinal Roncalli, who was Pope John the 23rd until his death in 1958. He went until April of 1963. Time Magazine's Man of the Year. He was author of Vatican II. You see him with his triple tiara. You see him with the regalia that he has on. He was a known Rosicrucian, a known Freemason at a time where it was not allowed for Freemasons to be even members of the Catholic Church. But the Freemasons were in control and on top. Here we see some depictions of the Catholic Church did not originate papal supremacy. The title Pontifex Maximus emanates from the ancient Chaldea. After the fall of Babylon, the mystery religion transferred to Pergamum and lastly to Rome, where it is today. That ancient mystery religion still goes on today. Rome is the current seat of this mystery Babylon, and the Pope is the great Hierophant. Here we see above in the illustrations three tarot cards. The Hierophant is a tarot card used in the sacred mysteries and teachings. I was, again, just sharing with you earlier that I was talking with some youth, and I want to share this quote with you. Card playing should be prohibited. That means not allowed. The associations and tendencies are dangerous. The prince of the power of darkness presides in the gaming room and wherever there is card playing. 52 pickup, gin rummy, cribbage, same deck of cards. I used to play cribbage all the time when I was a youngster. Used to play bridge all the time when I was a youngster. Used to play poker. Didn't think anything of it. But we're told evil angels are familiar guests in these places. There is nothing in such amusements beneficial to soul or body. There is nothing to strengthen the intellect, nothing to store it with valuable ideas for future use. The conversation upon trivial and degrading subjects, there is heard the unseemly jest, the low, vile talk, which lowers and destroys the true dignity of manhood. These games are the most senseless, useless, unprofitable, and dangerous employments the youth can have. Now, I'm sure that's changed from when Sister White wrote this to some of the games that are being played today as well. Those who engage in card playing become intensely excited and soon lose all relish and usefulness in an elevating occupations. So the 52-card deck actually got its history from the tarot cards. The devil is the ace, and the joker symbolizes Jesus Christ. There is no room for us to have these and use them, especially children should not have these. We see the keys. Let me go back here. This is the logo of Vatican City. Go back just a little bit. You see the keys of Janus and Seibel located at the body. These, they hold the keys to the secret mysteries. Here we see the triple tiara. A lot of symbolism going on. Hide it in plain sight. I threw this in here so we could have a little bit of understanding as well as to the teaching of spiritualism is found in Kundalini Yoga. It's found in the 7 days of the week. It's found in the seven visible sky planets. The devil has wrapped this all up in a nice, neat little mystery religion package going all the way back to Chaldea. Here we see in the left-hand side within the upside-down triangle, this is a hexagram, three-dimensional. Hex is a very sacred symbol in witchcraft and sorcery. We see here on the right-hand side this understanding of getting into the mind's eye. Let's not say, and obviously in the middle, what do we see here? Caduceus, the medical symbol found throughout the medical industry. Spiritualism is on the rise, brothers and sisters. It's becoming a very fast-growing portion of the global society. There's a blending of Christianity and Eastern teaching. It has been going on for some time. So we're just scratching the surface here. Some of you may have heard about the One World Religion of Chrislam, which will be opening in 2022. We talked about earlier this morning in regards to the COP conference that took place in Scotland. All these things happening quickly in front of us. We see Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. He has also been quoted as saying, "You shall own nothing and be happy." And here he is with his statement, "The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world." And we see that in combination with the Laudato Si, which is wrapped into Agenda 2030 through the United Nations. So there's so much in play right now, so much noise going on. And so that's why this morning I wanted to be grounded and where we need to be as a people for what is right on the precipice of coming to us. It's right around the corner. "No man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who appalseth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember he not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and you know that withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." So that man of sin is the front man of the Vatican, the Pope. Just a front man to the real workings of what's going behind. As we near the close of time, there will be still greater and still greater external parade of heathen power. Heathen deities will exhibit and manifest their signal power, exhibit themselves before the cities of the world. And this delineation has already begun to be fulfilled. By a variety of images, the Lord Jesus represented to John the wicked character and seductive influence of those who have been distinguished for the persecution of God's people. We read on, the pen of inspiration tells us, "All need wisdom carefully to search out the mystery of iniquity that figures so largely in the winding up of Earth's history. God's presentation of the detestable works of the inhabitants of the ruling powers of the world who bind themselves into secret societies and confederacies, not honoring the law of God, should enable the people who have the light of truth to keep clear of all these evils. More and more will all false religionists of the world manifest their evil doings, but there are two parties, those who keep the commandments of God and those who war against God's holy law." Do we see that conflict coming? Do we see a Sunday law coming? Are they not already setting up the system by which they will maintain or force through coercion people into subjugating them to do what they're told? I've met many people that have lost jobs because they wouldn't take the jab. And you've only got to look at what's going on in Austria. Look what's going on in Venezuela, Australia, New Zealand, Greece. You know, they're going to fine anybody over the age of 60 who hasn't been vaccinated £100 every month. This is evil. This is totalitarian. This is not science. We are living in a time when life is most precious and most interesting. The end of all things is at hand. Startling developments will be continually unfolding before us, for unseen agencies are at work, manifesting intense activity. The powers of darkness from beneath are moving upon human agents, and evil men are cooperating with evil angels to war against the commandments of God and of the faith of Jesus. At the same time, a power from above is moving upon those who will yield to divine influences, and the people of God are cooperating with heavenly intelligences. Nothing short of real, genuine faith will survive the strain that will come upon every soul of man in these last days to test and try him. Those who engage in his service must be ready to give up their dearest friends and relatives, to be despised as fanatics and fools, and to suffer bodily harm for his name's sake. If they should become discouraged by what the world might say or do, if they should not endure the test of their love and loyalty, if they refuse to keep God's commandments because their neighbors made sport of them, they could not perfect their faith, which works by love and purifies the soul. It's coming, relentless in its fury. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold onto eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Many are going to lay down their lives, brothers and sisters. Dead. Now, Albert Einstein was not a very religious man, but I found his comments very intriguing, and I wanted to share this with you. The world is a dangerous place to live, he said, not because of the people who are evil, but because of the people who don't do anything about it. He's talking to you and I, brothers and sisters. What are we doing to save and seek that which was lost? And his other comment here, only a life lived for others is a life worthwhile. I wonder how the Lord will judge him in his day. He was an intelligent man. He had some important things to share with us. And I think that, Lord willing, on his deathbed, he gave himself over to God. As the storm approaches, a large class who have professed faith in the third angel's message but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth abandon their position and join the opposition. I think we can start seeing that already. They haven't left the church, but they've left the message and they've joined themselves to science. By uniting with the world, they have come to view matters in nearly the same light, and they choose the popular side. Men who once rejoiced in the truth employ their talent and pleasing address to mislead souls. They become bitter enemies of their former brethren. These apostates are efficient agents of Satan to misrepresent and accuse Sabbath keepers and stir up the rulers against them. The Lord's servants have given the warning. God's Spirit has constrained them. They have not consulted their temporal interest nor sought to preserve their reputation of their lives. Their work seems far beyond their ability to accomplish, yet they cannot turn back. Feeling their helplessness, they flee to the Mighty One for their strength. He's going to take us through the storm, brothers and sisters. He's promised. God has called us as a peculiar people, a treasure unto himself. He has appointed that his church on earth shall stand perfectly united in the spirit and counsel of the Lord of hosts to the end of time. The denominations of all the churches will fall, and the remnant will remain. Those who, like the ones in the beginning, stood fast during the fiery trials, and if their lives were to be taken, they understood it, but they would not defile the God of heaven. Yes, a storm is coming, relentless in its fury. Are we prepared to meet it? The same masterful mind that plotted against the faithful in ages past is still seeking to rid the earth of those who fear and obey his law, God's law. Satan will excite indignation against the humble minority who conscientiously refuse to accept popular customs and traditions. Men of position and reputation will join with the lawless and the vile to take counsel against the people of God. Wealth, genius, education will combine to cover them with contempt, persecuting rulers, ministers, and church members will conspire against them. With voice and pen, by boast, threats, and ridicule, they will seek to overthrow their faith. By false representations and angry appeals, they will stir up the passions of the people, not having a thus saith the scriptures to bring against the advocates of the Bible Sabbath. They will resort to oppressive enactments to supply the lack. To secure popularity and patronage, legislators will yield to the demand for a Sunday law. Thus, who fear God cannot accept an institution that violates a precept of the Decalogue. On this battlefield comes the last great conflict of the controversy between truth and error, and we are not left in doubt as to the issue. Now, as in the days of Mordecai, the Lord will vindicate truth and his people. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. This is doing a little Adventist history. Speaking from Revelation. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of earth. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. This is pointing back to the French Revolution. That was a revolution of the Freemasons, the Age of Enlightenment, 1798. The two witnesses, the Old and the New Testament, is being spoken of here as they burn the Bible in the streets. This is going to be revisited, brothers and sisters. John 15, 26 and 27 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Remember, we have a guardian angel that was at our side at our birth, and will be there at our grave. He's been with us from the beginning. He knows us from inside the womb of our mothers. Zechariah 4, verse 11, 14. Then I answered and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and I said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. I'm going to take a little look at this. We're getting off the path just a little bit, but I think it's important. Here's a representation. They feed their olives oil. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. We see here, these are the seven spirits of God, wisdom, counsel, knowledge, the Lord, fear, might, and understanding, which point to Revelation chapter 4, verses 5, the seven lamps burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, being fed by the two witnesses, the two anointed ones. They're ready to feed us. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He wants to fill us with his Spirit. He wants to pour out this holiness into our lives. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 17 through 20. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one Spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's there. He's got thousands upon thousands of angels waiting to send down to assist us in the last closing work of Earth's history. Here we see a depiction of Christ talking to his disciples. In the book Desire of Ages, we read, he who would confess Christ must have Christ abiding in him. He cannot communicate that which he has not received. The disciples might speak fluently of doctrines. They might repeat the words of Christ himself, but unless they possess Christ-like meekness and love, they were not confessing him. The mission of Christ's servants is a high honor and a sacred trust. He that receiveth you, he says, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. No act of kindness shown to them in his name will fail to be recognized and rewarded. Remember, it's his life living out through us. Our first work, pure heart. Our second work, clean hands. Be a peacemaker. Bring people to the understanding of sin and the sin bearer, that they will have them washed away and they can be regenerated. John 15:11-14. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatever so I ever command you. First work, receive purity of heart. Second work, share the good news. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's coming, brothers and sisters. There's no avoiding it. We cannot always be upon our knees in prayer, but we can let the heart be ascending to God continually for his blessing. And we will have help just as sure as we keep in this state of mind. The evil angels may be all around us to press their darkness upon us, but the will of God is greater than their power. And if we do not, in word or action or in any way, make Christ ashamed of us, the sweet blessing and peace of God will be in our hearts every day we live. May the sweet blessing and peace of Christ rest upon us here as we assemble from morning to morning so that we can serve him. We must meet difficulties in order to meet and overcome them. We must have Jesus with us. Satan will say to you that you are a very great sinner and that you need not pray, for Jesus will not hear you. But we tell him that because we are a sinner is the very reason why we need to pray. For Christ came to save sinners, and he died upon Calvary's cross in order that sinners might come to him and be saved. Build a wall of scripture around you, and you will see that the world cannot break it down. Commit the scripture to memory, and then throw it right back upon Satan when he comes with his temptations. It is written. This is the way that our Lord met the temptations of Satan and resisted them. Be determined that you will not live without the presence and light and love of Jesus, and then you will have precious victories and will know who is the source of your strength. Oh, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, the temple of the living God. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by thy way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Remember, we've looked earlier this morning. Satan's forehead is receding because he does not have a connection anymore with God. God is writing these things upon our frontlets between our eyes, prefrontal cortex. He's communicating through us into our bodies. We're synthesizing himself into our lives. By beholding, we become changed into his likeness. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Found in Matthew 22, verse 37, 38. In manuscript release 176, God has given us instruction that every child of his has a work to do. Can't be plainer and simpler than that. To everyone is given talents according to his several ability. To ministers for Christ, it is not necessary for a man to be a preacher. There are many who, though they do not feel that they have been set apart for the special work of preaching, are nevertheless ministering for Christ. The Sun of Righteousness shines upon them, and they reveal that they are one with Christ. The Word of God is the man of their counsel. As they study the Scriptures, they are enabled to understand what they read. They work in unity with one another. There will be no discordant opinions among those who are taught by God. True saints are one in spirit and action. The Holy Spirit binds them together, and all the power of satanic agencies cannot break this union. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's where our hopes are. We're like the group, that small group in the narrow way. We're looking to the future. That's where our hopes, that's where our desires are. When the earth's history shall close, there will be only two divisions, the righteous and the wicked. Every man, woman, and child will be found in one of these two armies. Jesus will be the leader of the righteous and Satan of the opposing host. The angels who kept not their first estate but left their own habitation are rebels against the law of God and enemies to all who love and obey his commandments. And all who are breaking and teaching others to break the law of God, the foundation of his government in heaven and on earth, are cooperating with these fallen angels in their work and are marshaled under the same chief who directs their operations in opposition to the government of God. These will seek to strengthen their forces by gathering as many as possible into their ranks, and they will annoy and harass, falsify, and misrepresent all whom they cannot influence to join them in their work. That's what's coming. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. This place is under the Shekinah glory of the ark which is in heaven. This is the secret place of the Most High. This is where he wants us to hide, under the shadow of the Almighty, under the pure righteousness of Christ. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having his head a golden crown, and in his hands a sharp sickle. We're coming to a close, brothers and sisters, and I'm telling you that there's a fight. We're told to fight the good fight of faith, the faith that our forefathers had, the faith that they took to the grave with them. Brothers and sisters, are you ready for that fight? Are you ready for the storm that's coming? Are you willing to set it aside? Are you willing to do the first work, pure heart? Second work, share the good news? Are you willing to put it all on the altar? If you have a home in the country, are you willing to open your doors to those who will need a place to live? Are you willing to let them lie down in your bed that you may sleep on the floor? There's so much that we don't know what's going to happen to each one of us, brothers and sisters. That's why we need to press together in these days. We need to press together. Press together. Press together.